I'm on track. Revelation 2, verse 8. We're encouraging you. Bring your Bibles. If you're a phone person or tablet, that's fine. But make sure you've got, if you've got a paper Bible, I think you'll appreciate that. And so Revelation chapter 2, verse number 8. You've sat just for a second. One more time, if you're willing and able, let's stand honor to God and His Word. Revelation 2, I am so excited about the series and the message, and so we're thrilled. Revelation 2, verse 8. And to the angel, the messenger, the pastor of the church in Smyrna write, these things says the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know your works, tribulation, poverty. Underline, highlight those three words. Jesus knows. Aren't you glad Jesus knows what's going on in your life? Say amen. But thou art rich. I know the blasphemy, but say they are Jews and are not. What do you mean? They are racial Jews, but they're not Jews of the heart, but are of the synagogue, the church of Satan. I got news for you. You can throw whatever rock you want, man, but you call a place the church of Satan, that is a deep cut, to use the words of the young people. Fear not, verse 10. Fear none of those things which you shall suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, Satan himself, that you may be tried. Assayed is the word, that you may have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, unto martyrdom, and I will give you a crown of life. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. He that overcomes, the victor, shall not be hurt of the second death. Again, repeating what he said at the end of verse 10. I want to talk to you this morning about the church of the persevering persecuted, or why some churches need some persecution. Would you pray with me, Father, front to back, left to right? I pray you'd speak to hearts. Help me today. Help me to hear and follow the leading of the Spirit. My heart is full. Lord, I've got plenty of notes. You know, I've been trying to work hard to edit, cut this down so it's not so long. But I pray you really would meet with us. I pray in particular you get honor and glory. I pray you'd help us to hear and obey what you are saying to us from the Scripture. So Holy Spirit, have your will and way right now. Those that are here with spiritual needs, oh, how I ask that you'd work in their hearts. Give them confidence to obey. Help them to be bold. Lord, help those who are preparing to be baptized in a few weeks. May even now you work in their heart in such a way that it's obvious that you've done the work there of regeneration in their lives. And I pray you would draw us. Help us to understand the Scripture. Help us to obey it. I pray in Jesus' wonderful and precious name we pray in all these things. And amen. You can be seated. Be seated. We started off looking at these churches, and I said, man, one of the problems with these looking at these churches, man, it is an ugly, ugly mirror. Ugly, ugly mirror. Somebody sent me a thing the other day, how to take a good selfie. I take a good selfie. It was 19 steps. 19 steps and 18 settings. Things you change and play with and all. And I, you know, and everybody who's overweight like I am knows there's only one way to take a selfie. When we take a selfie, you take the camera here, and then you make the angle just as bad as you can. And if you can't see but one chin, then you hit the button. You hit the button. I don't need 19 steps. And when we're reading this, by the way, somebody who just knew that, you tag me when you take one and post it. And that's what you do. You don't need any filters and all. You just need a long arm. And if somebody's got a longer arm than you, then they take the picture. And when we're here, we're looking at these things. And so we're looking, and Jesus is saying, I see you. Chapter 2, verse 1. The angel, the church of Ephesus, write these things. I am somewhat against you. You have left, departed your first love. And man, 2 weeks ago we said, man, this is tough. This is a thriving church. This is a monstrous ministry. It's a wealthy church. This is a church where all kinds of people have been redeemed. In my opinion, only rivaling the book of Romans, this fantastic message, really where he summarizes things, and everything is distilled, the practical and the personal and the doctrinal and the duty. And he says, you get your act together or you're not going to be a church anymore. I'll take your candlestick away. And they didn't get their act together, and he took their candlestick away. And they ceased to be a church. But he did commend them. What I've sat with for about 2 weeks, can I be transparent? Can I be honest? Can I not be preacher for a minute? Can I just be honest? Like, none of you are nodding at me. This is a bad sign because I got a lot of interaction this morning. I said, what would Jesus commend our church for? I think I've been thinking about it because, again, we moved here next week. We moved here, I think, the 11th, and then 10 days later, my stepfather passed. We were right back North Carolina for a while. I mean, I've just been sitting with that. What would Jesus commend our church? What would Jesus commend Hardin Valley Church for? Would he commend it? Would it be all negative? Would he say, man, everybody's bought in, everybody's soul winning, everybody's reading their Bible? Would he say, man, everybody's evangelistic? Would he say everybody's loving? Everybody's kind, everybody's considerate. Would he say everybody's filled with the Spirit, walking? And what would Jesus say? Then I thought, man, you know, he keeps calling out the pastors, the messengers here. What in the world would Jesus say to me? What is Jesus saying to me? See, we like the first part of all these little deals, but the end of it, he says the same thing. He that has an ear, let him hear. Let him hear with an eye to obedience, with a way to obedience, what the Spirit of God is saying to the churches. This is not something for us to admire. This is not something to drive by going, man, that's a beautiful house and a nice lawn. If I'd have kept up with it, if I'd have thought about it, Rusty, all those years ago, people coming back going, man, you got some nice houses across the street. And I would have just said, yeah, the third one's mine. And, and made out like that, you know, just blew their mind. Jesus is speaking to them. And he's speaking to this church here. We said there's typically commendation and condemnation. That's an easy way to kind of bust this up. Except here, there is no condemnation. This church gets perfect marks. It's not grade inflation. He gives them 100%, no negative here. So that immediately has got my attention. What does a church look like that Jesus finds no fault in? What's a church look like that has no areas of repentance or correction? Man, he's got me. Smyrna is about 35 miles or so north. If you find Ephesus, they're on the GNC, the western part there of Asia Minor, and you start going up. Some of you that have been in the military, you've been stationed close to Ephesus, where Ephesus was. You've been stationed close to Smyrna. You will come up to a beautiful port city that was unbelievably wealthy. It had natural barriers, had natural hills. And as they came into that place there, you would find it was one of the free cities. They had fought for and gained their independence, and they, in turn, were fiercely loyal back to Rome. Truth of the matter is, they were so loyal to Rome, they became known by the idea that they had municipal vanity and municipal rivalry. My city is better than your city. And it was easy for an emperor cult to be brought into bear as they would worship Nero and Diocletian and all these others. It had been a colony. Let me give you a couple of things here. It literally was known as the Crown of Asia. The Crown of Asia. It was such a beautiful place. And in fact, it had an area in the city where in Smyrna, where there was different buildings and stuff, and they almost formed a crown. So it was the Crown of Asia, and then they had natural landmarks when they put the buildings on it that formed a crown. John's going to write on the inspiration of the Spirit of God, if you're already tracking here, and he's going to talk about what does it mean to be faithful, not to an emperor, but to the King of Kings. He's going to talk about giving him a crown, a Stephanos, a victor's crown, in a place that's known as the Crown of Asia. He's going to talk about being faithful to death in this city. He had already experienced a rebirth. Truth of the matter is, Smyrna is connected as well with the idea of the phoenix, because they were so completely obliterated in the past, and the city was rebuilt back to new and better, and it was part of their identity. He said, I am the first and last. I am the one who was alive and dead, and I can cause you to come back to life even if you give your life for me. He's pulling hard on the things that they would know. He's pulling hard on duty and faithfulness. There's a bunch of Jews that are there. So many, man, they're going to attack the new Christians. Really going to give them a bad time. We're going to talk about that. And then, some of you knew this about Smyrna, maybe from growing up or in Sunday school or something, but Smyrna is just really another way of saying the word myrrh. Myrrh is a gum-like resin. If myrrh rings the bell, gold, frankincense, and what was brought to the baby Jesus, or to the toddler Jesus? Myrrh. It was an embalming fragrance. It was strong. It was used to anoint the priest with that type of oil, Exodus chapter 30, to embalm the dead. That's what would have been brought to them, brought to the tomb to put on Jesus' body. And Smyrna survived. Smyrna continued on when Ephesus wrapped itself up. And you see the background that's here. You see these cool little things. It would be like me showing up wearing an orange outfit today. Everybody go, oh man, he's pandering to the University of Tennessee people. And that would have been it. Or I'd escape from prison. One of the two things. That was one of the hardest things to get used to. Here's so much orange. Because if I'd seen that much orange in North Carolina, I'd said the prison has been broken. But I'm used to it now. I'm in good shape. I still wear a lot of orange because it makes me wash out. And I try and wear colors that take away from my face. Nod your head if you think that's a good idea. And you nodded way too hard, Mark. And so we're here. We're here. So we're looking at it. So we see the city, and I want to help you out here. So we see the city. So let's look at Jesus for a second. Can we look at Jesus as we get started? Is that okay with everybody? Look at Jesus. And I'll use something like this for each of these churches. He's identified two different ways. He calls himself the first and the last, and the one who was alive and is dead again. He is the eternal God. He became man. That's a Christmas story. He died and he rose again. Literally, the Greek almost steps on itself. He says he came to die. He came to life again. He went to the cross with the idea that he would be resurrected from the dead. He passed into death, through death, and back into life. He is triumphant over all this. To this church that's suffering, to this church that's poor, to this church that gets perfect marks, 100 grade, he said, I want you to know why it's okay. I want you to know why it's worth it. Let me help you. Why it's okay for you to live for Jesus, for you to take a stand in your family, for you not to laugh at the dirty jokes at work, for you not when somebody's passing around the porn on the phone, for you to turn your head and say, I'm not doing that. I made a covenant with my eyes. For you, when none of your family understand, I want to tell you why. It's because of who Jesus is. It's Jesus is the one who can bring you through. He is the one who is worthy. And he says to him, he starts off, he says, don't miss it. If they kill you, you live with me. If you stay here, you live with me and for me. I am the everlasting one. By the way, anybody here ever need any hope? Anybody here struggle? You may hear one, man, is it worth it to live for Jesus? Man, I'm struggling and I want to give to the Lord. Amen, but it'll be tight if I do that. And a preacher gives these deals, man, talks about missions and you know, another $5 or $10 or $50 or something like that, and you're working on those kind of things. You say, man, if I took this job, it'd knock me out of church forever. But it'd be a little more money. Am I going to do that, or am I going to trust God? Am I going to read my Bible? I watch 15 episodes of reruns and a bunch of dumb stuff on YouTube, and I keep saying, I ain't got time to read my Bible. The one who is worthy says to you, I am the first and the last. I am eternal. I created all the time and space, and one day all the time and space will wrap up. And you'll either be with me or you'll be experiencing judgment forever. The other side. He says, I was dead and alive. only people I know, American Christians, we're bored to death with the Easter story, with the death and resurrection of Christ. We yawn, we talk about the crucifixion, we get in, we talk about the resurrection. He was dead. He came back to life. By the way, some of you in the last few years, you have been there and stood beside of a grave of someone who knew Christ, and your heart just resonated, I will see them again. Why? Because he lives, they're going to live. Truth of the matter is not they're going to live, they're alive right now. If you're thrilled for that, say amen this morning. And so he says, I'm the first, and as we're introduced to the author here, then he talks about the church. He talks about church, and again, how do you get a perfect score? How do you do this? What in the world's going on here? What in the world's going on? How does he do this? So let me walk you through a few things here. Yeah, there we go. I'm hitting it like four times. So if I'm changing the channel on your TV or your iPad, that's me. You're me. He says, you understand this. He says, first of all, he knows about their tribulation. He knows about their tribulation. Tribulation, the word phlipsis. It's hard to say. It's not real hard to spell. It's the idea of pressure. We sometimes use the word pressure when we're talking about problems. But most of the time we're talking about burden. I feel like I'm just weighted down. I feel like I got the weight of the world on my shoulders. We'll say, have stress headache. I just need to go for a drive and get away from it all because it just, I feel like everything's on me. That's the word here. He said, I know the pressure that you are under. By the way, anybody in here ever had a bad attitude when you had a lot of pressure? Anybody here ever snap when you had a lot of pressure? When it's just like the one more thing? We use the expression, the straw that broke the camel's back. We never get to the camel stage, right? We got the sunburn arm stage. Somebody gets within 5 inches of us and the breeze blows. We're, you did that on purpose. Yeah, on purpose. Rather got into a fight with something at Hobby Lobby, and he'd been walking around with his hand bandaged up and all that kind of thing, and he accidentally hit me the other day, and he said, why'd you do that for, Dad? I said, I'm sorry, you know, physics are what they are, and I got in the way of your hand. I didn't hit you, but I apologize. I apologize profusely. How many of you, when somebody's in pain, that's all you can do, right? That's all you can do. I'm kind of teasing there a little bit. And we're here. He says, I know your tribulation. He says, I know your poverty. It's two Greek words for poverty. One's a word, we get the word penury from, penny. Penny means you're broke, but you got some. Penny means you're buying Dr. Thunder instead of Dr. Pepper. Nod your head if you follow me there. That's penny. He doesn't use penny. He says you're at Petocho, P-T-E-C-H-E-O, transliterated. He says you can't pay attention. Most of us, when we complain, it's because we're buying Dr. Thunder, right? Anybody here know someone who drives 60 miles out of their way to save 10 cents a gallon on gas? That's penna. But Tokyo, I don't have a car. I don't have transportation. Penny. I'm eating stuff in the back of the pantry. It's a month or two past its good prime. Petocho, I don't know what we're eating. I was traveling back the other day, and it's the way I'm wired, I reckon. My heart hurts when I see somebody side of the road with a sign. You never know if they're grifting. You never know if they're serious. I've read the profiles they've done. Folks make $60,000, $70,000 a year standing side of the road. So I'm unfortunately skeptical. But I can't stand the lady standing beside the road handing the sign. I'm ready to empty my wallet. I don't care if she's a first-class scam artist with a BMW parked in the bushes. I can't stand it. I can't stand to see a lady and her hair matted and dirty, holding a sign, we'll work for food. It just unnerves me. And it is not good for me to be in the lane near her because I'm about to dump everything out and ask if she takes MasterCard. I mean, it just kills me. I have to be very careful because I can't stand to see a lady like that. Nod your head with me. And if you're so ghoulish you put a kid out there, man, I'm done. I'm just done as I can be. I can't stand to see a child who looks like they don't have what they need. But nod your head if some of you are like that. Most of you are looking at me like you're full of condemnation. You are warm-hearted too, aren't you? I mean, that's why we are, and we're jaded because we've seen too many people abuse things, and it's a weird formula. He said, I know this. Smyrna is one of the richest places in the empire. Smyrna, they purchased their freedom. These are free people. These are people of means. The port comes in. It's safe. They've got overland travel. They're like Ephesus. They've got all kind of things that are here. They are the most beautiful city. And they are the haves and the have-nots. And he is implying, you have not because you follow Jesus. Your Christianity has affected your children. Look right at me. I talked to somebody the other day. He said, I spend most of my time trying to get people to say they love Jesus to act like they love Jesus. And I thought, well, that's, and I thought, man, you know, I spend a fair amount of my time doing the same thing. American Christians are weird folks. I put it in the title. You know what? Do some of us some good to have a little bit of persecution. Get a little bit of bite and pushback for our faith. Man, when you're persecuted, man, you figure out what matters. your house burns down, you figure out, man, did I really miss that extra can of WD-40, or am I glad the baby photo survived? And when the pressure's on, we figure out what's real. And Jesus said, I understand you are doing without and you are completely poor. He knows. He knows your financial situation. We moved. We moved from thriving pastorate that was going to work and help young men, young ladies prepare for ministry. And I had that conversation with Andre. We're leaving a house with extra bathrooms, and we're moving, temporarily moving to this really small house. And I had that conversation, and we're going to take a $10,000 pay cut and get worse benefits. But I believe it's what God wants to do, and she was on board. She knew that. And it was nice to say it, but then we had to put it in reality. Kids were about to start school, all those kind of things. And I broke my arm. I broke my elbow, so I had surgery and rehabs. And we moved. My arm was in a sling, so I was like carrying boxes in one handed. And then every box I carried, I'd lose my balance and they dropped. So you know, so I was costing us money helping us move, because everything I was toting. And we did that. Then we moved here. Cost of living was higher here, and all these kind of things. Looking at all these kind of things. And again, God is taking such good care of us. I'm not implying anything different here. No, not at all. But to have that conversation going, man, if I follow the Lord, this will affect my family and not know how it's going to turn out. And let me help you. That's penna. It's just a little uncomfortable. They followed Jesus, and it cost them salary and livelihood. They got ran out of their neighborhoods. He said he knows their persecutors. He knows their persecutors. He knows their condition, their suffering. By the way, what does he call them? He says, I know you are rich. I know you are rich. They were rich in Christ. They were rich by grace. They were rich because God counted them worthy to suffer for him. They were rich in their spiritual lives because they were walking close to him. Because when I am close to Jesus, my wife said something for all the years we've been married. She said, I don't care where he is, as long as we're together. By the way, you find a woman like that, to stay with her, amen? Amen, especially if she can cook. And stay together. I don't care where here he is, Lord, as long as you and I are together. That ought to be the condition of every believer. Say amen. He says that. He knows your persecutors. Knows your persecutors. Flip back in the book there, in the Bible, verse 9. I know you're, but you are rich. I gave you the four reasons why they're rich. I know the blasphemy, big word, of them which say they are Jews, and are not, but are of the synagogue, the church of Satan, the church of Satan. These were religious Jews. They claimed to be of the seed of Abraham, but it was only physically, spiritually. They were of Satan and under his power and under his control. He says, you are the congregation of Satan, of the devil. God says, I see that. I know that. Let me give you a word. I don't think I put it in your notes, but let me give you a word, slander. They were being slandered. I don't know what it's going to look like in America, but I got news for you. Slander is going to be part of it, because slander has been a part of it about 20 years. I defy you to, I don't care what cable channel, I don't care what YouTube channel, I don't care what AM radio, podcast, Christ followers are being slandered relentlessly. Stuff made up, all these kind of things. And it continues to come, and it continues to mount. And it's going to be there. And if you're going to stand for Jesus, you might as well just buckle down. You're going to be accused of all kinds of things. I thought about just my Twitter handle and my social media stuff and all, because it comes up so very often. I thought I'd just go ahead and put on there grifter. That's what I am, apparently. I didn't know it till recently, a few years ago, because I'm a pastor in a church that I'm a grifter. How many of you didn't know that? But that's what I am, apparently, because that's what I get accused of, and people like me get accused of, and all of you get accused of. You're on the grift, and you're doing it on Sunday morning, and blah, 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 blah. Well, that's just easy. That's easy slander. You're responsible for the problems that are here. You're responsible for what's wrong with our country. You are doing that. By the way, these were very patriotic Jews of the congregation of Satan saying, our city needs to get rid of them. So what were they accusing them of? What was the problem? They were worshiping the emperor to start with. You get your eyes on somebody besides Jesus and everything will go sideways fast. We got to be just as careful as we can be. No government official save us. Somebody say amen. Amen. By the way, how many of you think we just say, all right, everybody who's serving now, you can't serve for 3 years. We just find some new people. New people. Will's going to start laughing here. Back during the election, man, I got in so much trouble. I've said this a couple of times before. In my medicated stupor, I said, the only choice we got is the hairdo and the hair sniffer. Out of 340 million people, we can do better. We can do better. And you thought I'd spit on Jesus. And let me help you. We can still do better. You know, I vote. I'm even vote for Forrest. Forrest got to be a little older, though. And we're here. They've been devoted here. Secondly, because they refused to participate in paganism, they were called atheists. I went to one of my doctors. One of the workers in there had on a symbol of Odinism, the tree, the mystical tree that all life sprang from. I asked about it in case it was just decoration. No, they knew about it, knew what they were doing there, and I'm sitting there going, I got a pagan sticking a needle in me. Honest to goodness pagan. Where do I check that box on the survey? I do not want to be treated by pagans. Not for nothing. She thought I was a pagan. Because I believed in one God. I'm just weird. I believed in the God. I believe in Jesus Christ. And we were there. And we were at an impasse. We were at an impasse. And next time I go in there, I'm bringing the family Bible and about four sermons. If I got to see her again. They refused to worship Zeus, Apollo, Aphrodite, Ascalaphos, and Sibyl. Because they did that, they were considered to be atheists because they didn't worship the old gods. The Jews blasphemed them. How did they do that? He said they were cannibals because they participated in the Lord's Supper. He said they were filled with immorality because of they greeted the brother with a holy kiss, which that's fine with us because we're all introverts, right? We barely shake hands. We don't know anybody's name anymore, right? That's how the church runs. We're not much there. He said they were atheists because they rejected all the old gods there and they were politically disloyal and rebellious. Now, not for nothing. You catch that, don't you? If you don't see it here, you start watching the politics in Canada. Throw them in jail because they refuse to back up. He says, you are the synagogue of Satan. He says, they attacked him, and Jesus called them the synagogue of Satan. He gives them some commands. I got about 5 or 6 minutes. You still with me? Still with me? Some commands and some counsel. Commands and counsel. He gives them some commands and some counsel about their fear and their suffering, about their future and testing and faithfulness and rewards. And then I'm going to tell you about a guy named Polycarp. I'm going to be done. You still got your Bibles open. You still got your tablets open. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Now, there's one word there I really like, or two words rather, and there's the last word I don't care for at all. Fear not, thumbs up. Suffer, what? It's too hot. It's too cold. We're like the three little bears, right? This porch too hot. This porch too cold. This bed's too hard. Bed too soft. That's our Christianity, right? We get mad as fire. We get mad as fire when we ask to give extra. He says, "Fear not. Suffering is coming, and I'll be with you. Fear nothing." Fear nothing. How do you fear nothing? Go back to verse 8. I am the first and the last. I'm the one who is dead and is alive again. That's who you serve. The God that's with me is bigger than anything you can throw at me. That's the kind of Christianity we need, don't we? Let me help you. That's the kind of church that gets a perfect score from King Jesus. Say what you want, do what you want, take what you want, lie how you want to, but I'm with the one who's the first and the last, the eternal one. Check his credentials. And not for nothing, but you guys killed him once and he didn't stay dead. He's alive and he'll never die again. And all who die in Christ are alive with him and will come back with him and will rule and reign forever. So do what you want to me. Suffer? Pfft. He just said, even though you said I was broke, he said I was rich. Because my relationship with him. We can be persecuted. We have the old enemy. Fear stops us from doing what we ought to do. Have you ever noticed that? Just for free. Have you ever noticed how fear and shame will paralyze you? Fear. If I do this and it doesn't work out, shame. I tried that, didn't do real well. I said I was going to read my Bible and stop reading my Bible. I said I was going to join a group, I didn't join a group. I said I was going to be here Wednesday night, I didn't do that. I said I was going to join the youth group. I said I was going to, whatever it is, and because we fumble and we trip and we fall, we're like, I'm done. Too embarrassed. Fear nothing. By the way, the grace of God that can save you is the grace of God that can restore you. The grace of God that saves you, the grace of God that can keep you, can help you, and can enable you. And you can be what you ought to be for him. He says fear and suffering talks about faithfulness. One more thing. He says you'll be tried and have tribulation 10 days. Underline and highlight that. What are you talking about 10 days? Some of you are going, I can do anything in 10 days. Those of you in here with new babies know that's 10 days of 44 hours. Days. 10 days you have tribulation. More than likely, he's just using a euphemism. He's talking about that. He could be talking about, though, looking ahead again, because this is right in line historically and prophetically. There were 10 pretty intense bursts of persecution. Nero, Domitian, Trajan, Hadrian, Septimus, Severus, Maximin, Decius, Valerian, Aurelian, and then Diocletian. I keep wanting to put him next to last. And until Constantine, the early church just got bushwhacked every time they changed rulers. Whether he's talking about the 10 short outbursts that were intense, or he's just saying it's not going to be long, it'll be okay. By the way, how many of you would rather go through anything with Jesus than go through anything without Jesus? He says, you need to be faithful. Be faithful to the point of martyrdom. Be faithful to death. Trust the Lord. This is one of those things, man, I just marinated on because I had the week off last week and Corey did such a good job, and I'm just marinating and thought about this. How can we get people to be willing to die when they will barely do the minimum accepted to even be identified with the Lord? And, of course, the answer is they won't. You're not about to take a bullet for Jesus if you won't crack your Bible open during the week for Jesus. Not your head if you understand. I'm really not being mean. I'm not being aggressive or passive. I'm just saying A doesn't equal B. And if we're going to get the good marks of the church, man, we're going to have to start taking some good steps, right? Be faithful unto death. I will give you the crown of life. There's a four, maybe five crowns, but there are four generally agreed upon types of rewards, crowns mentioned, types of, but there's two types of crowns typically. There's the diademos, which is the royal crown. That'd be like gold or silver or gold and jewel, stuff like that. And then there's the victor's crown or the stephanos. If you see a Roman ruler or Greek ruler or something like that, they've got that laurel wreath that's there. Sometimes it says a crown that fades not away because the crown would wither. Some of you bought Christmas wreaths and stuff like that, and they look really good. Somewhere around January 2nd, you got to throw them away, man, because there's needles everywhere and those kind of things. He said, I will give you the victor's crown for enduring. You are considered an overcomer, Nikeo, Nike. You're considered a victor. If you stay with it and you stay faithful, even if it cost you your life. And he characterized this way. What kind of crown is it? What kind of the crown that is life. Eternal life is the reward for those who stay faithful. You may kill me, but you took what was brief and you helped me usher in that which is eternal. And you can't do anything to me. You may kill the body, but you cannot kill my soul. That belongs to God. Truth of the matter is, he's going to give me a new body anyway. And we are to be faithful unto death. Isn't that the attack point of most of us? Faithfulness. Faithful to Jesus. Faithful to the Lord. Faithful to Jesus. Faithful to the Word. Faithful to his church. Faithful to his work. Faithful to worship. Satan has so got us wrapped up We give God 75 minutes on Sunday, and then we seem like we don't think a thing about him till the next time. He doesn't need to beat us. We are already defeated, aren't we? Already a mess. We're confused by information, and we're over busy or over scheduled. And we give God our leftovers. And he says to the church at Smyrna, "You be faithful to me." Boy, didn't it grip your heart? Didn't it grip my heart? To overcome means to be faithful, even if it kills me. He says, "You will not be hurt." He uses a latate as a little device here. Sometimes he talks about, he said, first and the last. That's kind of like a bumper-to-bumper kind of thing. Here he just uses the negative. If you look at somebody, says, says, "Are you interested in getting beat up today?" And he answered, "No, no, it's going to be." He says, "You will by no means endure the second death. This is the evidence that you have been converted, that you persevere. This is the evidence that you know Jesus, that you continue on." Continue on. Who is that? Who is that? Who can help us with that? Well, what about the pastor of the Church of Smyrna? There's a guy named Polycarp. Polycarp would have been a disciple of the Apostle John. J.B. Lightfoot records his martyrdom. He says, "The judge pressed him hard and said, 'Swear, and I will release thee. Swear to Caesar, and I will release thee. Revile, reject Jesus Christ.' Polycarp said, 66 years have I been his servant. He has done me no wrong. How can I blaspheme my king who saved me?" Judge pressed him again. "Swear by the genius of Caesar." He answered, "If you suppose emptily that I swear by the genius of Caesar's, you say and feign that you are ignorant who I am, hear you plainly. I am a Christian. But if you would learn the doctrine of Christianity, give me a day and give me a hearing." The judge said, "Prevail upon the people. Throw yourself on their mercy." Polycarp, the pastor, said, "As for yourself, I should have held thee worthy of discourse. For you have been, we have been taught to render as is meet to princes and authority appointed by God. I do not hold them worthy that I should defend myself before them." He says, "I've got wild beasts here. I will throw you to them. Except you recant." He said, "Call for them. For the repentance from better to worse is a change I'm not permitted to do. But it is a noble thing to change from this body into complete righteousness." Judge one more time. "I will cause you to be consumed by fire if you don't want the wild beast, unless you recant." Polycarp said, "You threatening me with fire that burns for a moment and afterward is quenched. You are ignorant," wait for it, "of the fire of the future judgment, eternal punishment, which is reserved for the ungodly. But why do you delay? Come, do what you would." Walford said, "The faithfulness of Polycarp to the end characterized the church in Smyrna and resulted in this church's continued faithful witness for God after many other the earlier churches had long lost their zeal. The fire of affliction purifies and causes our testimony to burn more brilliantly." I don't know what we need, but I think it wouldn't hurt us to have a little bit of persecution. Knock off some of the things that don't really matter. I'd like to get a perfect score from the Lord. I'd like to do more than hear and go, "That was interesting." I'd like to hear and obey. And the only way you'll be faithful at the end is to be faithful right now. And the only way you'll be faithful in light of suffering persecution is to be faithful right now. Would you pray that we be faithful to him in these moments? Would you bow with me? Our time is up. You've listened so well. I promise I am trying to be brief with these. They're interesting to me. A lot of study, a lot of notes. And Maybe you're here today and you got, you just said, preacher, I hear what you're saying, but man, I've got such spiritual needs. Maybe you've never trusted Christ. Maybe you made a decision as a kid, but you don't place much stock in it. God, you've never seen God change your life, but you really would like that. You'd like the Jesus that I talked about who's worth dying for. You'd like to have a relationship with him so much that if you lost